Welcome in, sports fans, on this Monday morning. It is another edition of The Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola podcast. Hope you had a great weekend. Enjoy the red, white, and blues festivities out there with the Blue Angels hitting the beach. I hope you're fully recovered. If not, hope you continue to recover throughout the day and get back to 100%. I know between the heat and the, you know, fun beverages you might have been having out there, it takes a lot out of you for sure. But definitely a weekend we look forward to each and every year here in the Pensacola area. We love our Blue Angels. But we also love our sports, and we've got a few things to talk about on today's show. Biggest thing happening for sports fans here in the area, lots of SEC football fans in the area, so all eyes are going to be on Dallas, Texas. Today's day one of SEC Media Days, and we've got some coaches heading to the podium that's going to be talking, and one of the coaches, we're going to talk a little bit more about the team and things like that, but we want to obviously acknowledge, because we lost a lot of people over the weekend as far as like celebrities and famous people go, but definitely a couple in the sports world, and we're going to talk about Jacoby Jones coming up in a little bit, but Monty Kiffin as well, the father of Lane Kiffin, who is the head coach at Ole Miss, passed away Friday or Saturday one, and just definitely want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the family, the Kiffin family right now. And I know it's a tough time, especially I'm sure for Lane. I mean, he and his dad were very, very close. And, you know, obviously that's, you know, it's tough to lose anybody, whether it's a grandparent or a parent or whoever it may be. But when you have that bond and that connection that they did over the game of football, definitely a tough thing right now. So definitely thoughts and prayers go out to Monty Kiffin, or excuse me, Lane Kiffin, and the Kiffin family right now, as they are they're dealing with this. And the good news is, it looks like he did maybe pass away there in Oxford, so maybe, you know, Lane got to be around him and be able to say a proper goodbye. So, but we'll talk more about Lane coming up in a minute when we get to Ole Miss. But some of the other coaches that are going to be talking today at SEC Media Days, LSU with Brian Kelly. Really kind of looking forward to hearing what he has to say about the team, because LSU is one of those teams that they could be a playoff team, right? Maybe they are that one team that's sitting right there at 13 and gets left out. We don't really know what we're going to get from LSU, right? Obviously, you lose your top two players and your leader and your quarterback and your top offensive weapon to the NFL. You've lost other key players to the NFL or to the transfer portal. You know, LSU is one of those teams that has got to replace a lot, and there's a lot of question marks with them right now. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what Brian Kelly has to say when he steps to the podium. Does he kind of, you know, tip his hat towards some of the moves that they're going to make to maybe kind of fill some of those holes? I definitely think LSU, like I said, they're one of those teams that they're right there on the fringe. They could be a college football playoff team, or they could be one of those teams that's one of the first couple of teams left out of the college football playoffs right there at 13 or 14. We just don't know what we're going to get with the Bayou Bengals, but I do think they're going to be a good team regardless. Like I said, worse for me is they're going to be sitting there at like number 15 in the country, getting just out of the college football playoffs by a couple of spots. That's, to me, that's worst case scenario for LSU. I think Brian Kelly's done a good job of bringing in talent for this team. So, yes, they did lose a lot of people that they've got to replace, including your leader at quarterback and your receiver. That was your biggest offensive weapon. But like I said, he's done a good job of bringing in some new talent that I believe is going to be able to step up and make some noise for them and allow them to have some success. Now, unfortunately, the thing about LSU right now is the SEC is just so deep now. Now that Texas and Oklahoma has been added in, now that we've done away with divisions and it's just a 16-team league and it's going to be the top two teams playing for the conference championship, it's going to be very, very tough for anybody in this conference to win a conference championship. But the good news is you don't have to win a conference championship anymore to get into the college football playoff, right? That's kind of where we were with the 14 playoff, but now we're expanding to 12. So, you know, LSU could be the third or fourth best team in the SEC and still get into the college football playoffs and still win a national championship. So it's unfortunate that that's where we're at. And I say unfortunate because I think it's great that we're going to have more teams. It's going to be more matchups for the college football playoffs. It's going to kind of open the door for some of these other teams that really kind of did deserve a shot. Cough, cough, Florida State last year. But I do think the one downside to us expanding to a 12-team college football playoff is the fact that it does render the conference championship unimportant. Where that used to mean so much, where you used to come to an SEC media days and you would hear the coaches talk about, you've got to win the SEC. If you want to win a national championship, you've got to win the SEC. And now it's not the case, right? It's not the case. You don't have to win the ACC. You don't have to win the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the SEC. You can still find your way into the college football playoffs without winning your conference. Now, is it in the grand scheme of things going to be something that's going to tear apart the game and make it worse? Probably not. I mean, look at the NFL with wild card teams, right? You only have, what, three or four teams that can win a division, and then the rest of the teams in the postseason are wild card teams. It doesn't really hurt it too terrible. I just think that it's you know, because conference championship games used to be such a tradition and a standard with college football, right? That first weekend in December, you knew you were going to plant your butt in front of the couch and you were going to start the day with the Big 12 championship game. That was going to get kicked off at noon. Then you had the SEC championship game at that. That was going to get kicked off at 2:30 local time here in Pensacola. Then after that, you would have the Big 10 championship game. And then after that, you'd have the ACC championship game. And you would sit there and you would watch each and every single one of them. And chances are, you were watching the college football playoff brackets get filled right there in front of your eyes, because whoever won those conference championships, if their record matched, they got in. But now we only have, we're at the 12-team playoffs. So teams like LSU, they don't have to worry about getting past Texas or Oklahoma. They don't have to worry about getting past teams like Alabama, which we're going to talk about Alabama a little bit. Kalen DeBoer is not supposed to be at the podium for a little bit for Alabama, but we're still going to talk about them because they're in the news too. LSU doesn't really have to worry about that, right? They can go 10-2, 9-3, and still probably be a college football playoff team and have an opportunity at winning a national title. So definitely looking forward to seeing what Brian Kelly has to say when he takes to the podium later this afternoon. Mentioned Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, a moment ago. He's going to be another coach that's there. Obviously, he's going to be there speaking with a heavy heart. But he understands he's got a job to do, and his dad would absolutely 110% understand and want him at SEC Media Days. So I'm sure it'll be a quick trip where Coach Kiffin is out there, makes a speech, gets back home as soon as he can. He might even cut short, go into the radio room and all that stuff, just come and do the podium and then get on a plane flying back to Oxford. So we'll see what happens there. But again, you got a guy like Jackson Dart who, I think Ole Miss is going to be a really good football team this year. I actually think Ole Miss has a legitimate shot at winning the SEC. And I know that's crazy. A lot of people are going to say, well, what about Bama? What about Texas? What about Oklahoma? What about all these other teams? I think Ole Miss is that dark horse team to keep an eye on in the SEC this year. I think they've got the talent. They've got the coaching. I think Lane Kiffin has learned from the mistakes of his past, whether it's Tennessee or whether it's USC. He's really kind of focused up. I think that time he spent with Nick Saban has really kind of got him in the right mindset. He learned how to kind of coach and prepare a team the right way, while also mixing in doing things the way he likes to do them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I think Lane Kiffin and this Ole Miss team is going to be a very dangerous team to play this year. I think that they do have some depth issues that could cause some issues for them. They've got some games late in the season, could possibly be some trap games for them that could mess up their season. You look at that game going on the road to the Swamp to take on Florida. That game is in mid-November, I believe. So, you know, you got depth issues, got some inexperienced players. That point in the season, it really is when especially depth issues kind of start rearing their head and showing up. So that could possibly be a rough game for them as well. But I do think Ole Miss is going to be one of those teams that is going to be right there in competition, just like LSU, for spot in the college football playoffs. And I think Ole Miss actually has a legitimate shot at not only getting into the college football playoffs, but winning the SEC. And once you get into the playoffs, who knows what can happen, right? I mean, we've seen it in just about every sport that has a playoff. Once you get into the playoff, who knows what can happen, right? So it's definitely going to be interesting to watch them. I have said it before on this show, and I will continue to say it. Jackson Dart, to me, is a Heisman Trophy candidate. I think Jackson Dart can be one of those guys that we're not talking about right now, but when we hit October, we're definitely talking about his numbers and how he's a part of the Heisman Trophy conversation. I'm not going to sit here and say that Jackson Dart can win it, because I do think there are other players inside college football that are going to be a little bit more poised and a little bit more set up to win it. But Jackson Dart is definitely going to be – there's always that group of guys, whether it's like two or three guys, maybe even sometimes four, where we're not talking about them at all at the beginning of the season, right? Like, there's just no chatter. You tune into sports talk radio, whether it's Paul Feinbaum or somebody else. You turn on College Football Live, which honestly and truthfully makes my heart so happy to see College Football Live back on ESPN. It is, you know, football season's right around the corner when you start seeing that pop up at 2:30 every day in the afternoon, right? So love seeing that back on. But, you know, they don't really talk about them. When they go through their list of, well, these are the guys we think could possibly compete for a Heisman Trophy this year, there's always a couple of guys that aren't on that list preseason that by the time we hit October, we go through the first couple of months of the season and we hit October, they are definitely on that list by Halloween. And I think Jackson Dart is going to be one of those guys. Jackson Dart's been on a couple of lists. I'm not going to say he's completely getting snubbed. He's been on a couple of lists, but Jackson Dart at Ole Miss is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I definitely think he's going to be a key factor for Ole Miss this year. If he has a fantastic year, if he does have Heisman Trophy quality numbers, then Ole Miss is going to be in a position to where they could actually potentially win a national championship. That's how good I think this Ole Miss football team is going to be. Don't sleep on Ole Miss this year, right? I know everybody's going to want to talk about Texas. They're going to want to talk about Oklahoma. They're going to want to talk about Alabama or even LSU. Don't sleep on Ole Miss. So definitely keep an eye on what Lane Kiffin has to say. Is that Lane Train rolling into Dallas for SEC Media Days? A couple of other coaches that are going to be talking as part of SEC Media Days. Shane Beamer with South Carolina and Clark Lee with Vandy. I think both of these guys are kind of in the same situation. I think South Carolina is kind of one of those middle-of-the-pack SEC teams. You don't expect them to be the worst team, but you don't expect them to be right there in the conversation with the best teams, right? I think Vandy is kind of one of those teams that it's you do expect them to be at the bottom. Right, like you look at Vandy and you're like, yeah, that's probably number 16 out of 16 right there in the SEC. To be honest, it's harsh to say, and sorry if you're a Vandy fan or an alumni that went to Vandy, because usually those two go hand in hand. I don't know anybody that just chooses to be a Vanderbilt fan, but if you do, no offense to you, it's just the way it goes being a Vandy fan. Right, you guys wait for baseball season. Baseball season and sometimes basketball season is your time to shine, baby. That's when you light it up the most. Football season is you break out the brown paper bags and you bury your head. They've had a couple of years. James Franklin was there where they won 8 or 9 games. And you know what? If James Franklin would have stayed there and not left to go to Penn State, who knows what Vandy football would look like right now. But he did leave, and he's at Penn State. So you're back to being Vandy. Right, Vandy being Vandy, everybody's out there saying it's dandy to beat Vandy, and usually they do pretty easily. So, I look for Vandy. I think Clark Lee, the saving grace for Clark Lee is that he's an alumni of Vandy, right? Like, he's played at Vanderbilt. He's a Vanderbilt guy. He knows what that team, what that fan base, what's expected of that team, and what the fan base expects. And look, for Clark Lee, if you win 6 games and get to a bowl game, that's a great successful season, right? That is a great successful season. And I will say, with Clark Lee as the head coach, you've seen it develop over the last couple of seasons. They've really become a scrappier, tougher team to play, right? They're not the pushover. They're not exactly a 100% pushover. You're probably still going to beat them by a few touchdowns, but they're actually going to challenge you a little bit before you start to pull away, right? But they're, and that's only because there's just such a talent and depth issue and difference between Vanderbilt and those other teams, even in the middle of the SEC on up to the top of the SEC. So Vandy is one of those teams that I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Clark Lee's on the hot seat. I don't think Clark Lee is on the hot seat. I think Clark Lee is going to have plenty of time there at Vandy. I think they understand what they have as far as their program goes at Vandy. And, you know, I don't think they're going to be in a rush to try to push him out. And, you know, outside of Nick Saban coming out in an interview going, well, you know, if I was to unretire from coaching, I'd really love to coach at Vanderbilt. if he says that, then they're probably going to go, Clark Lee, sorry, we understand that you're an alumni, but you gotta get out. All right, you clear out your desk. All right, don't eat the Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies. Those are Nick's. He's coming in right after you. All right, so get out. That ain't happening. So Clark Lee's not going anywhere at Vandy. Shane Beamer, on the other hand, at South Carolina, a bad season for him could kind of start getting that seat warm. So it is going to be interesting to see how he's handling those. I don't want to say the pressure, but definitely those, you know, the possibility of pressure is there. I think right now to start out the season, he's got his Viper sunglasses on. He's dancing in the locker room to Enter Sandman and or whatever it is they play. What is that song that they play? What's the name of it? Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. Enter Sandman's Virginia Tech. I can't remember the name of the song that some kind of techno music that whatever South Carolina plays. We're getting off the rails here. But anyways, he's out there dancing around having fun to that so far. So I think Shane Beamer starting off the season is not on the hot seat. But like I said, if this is a 4-8 type season, 5-7 type season, I think you definitely could start to feel that seat getting warmer. Those conversations are going to start to be had in South Carolina, especially on Sports Talk Radio. So obviously, you know, it's definitely a crucial season for him heading into South Carolina. Was it year four, maybe something like that? I think Shane Beamer's that guy that, again, like with Clark Lee, you win 6-7 games, you get to a bowl game, you win the bowl game. Hey, thumbs up for you. Good job. I think that's kind of the same area Shane Beamer's in, right? You just get South Carolina to a bowl game. You've kind of slowly progressed and gotten better each and every year. But again, just like we talked about with LSU, how they have people that they have to replace. South Carolina's got people they have to replace as well. So how do things continue to progress for them with Shane Beamer as the head coach? Like I said, starting the season, not on the hot seat. By the time we hit beginning of November, definitely could still be on the hot seat. That is for sure. We'll talk more about SEC Media Days, obviously, throughout the week as it unfolds. We'll kind of recap back to what these coaches said today, and then we will look ahead to whoever's talking tomorrow when we hit it on tomorrow's show as well. Let's move on now. We've got a couple of other things to talk about. NBA, Kawhi Leonard, no longer on Team USA. This was kind of something that happened last week, but with everything with the Blue Angels and things like that happening here in the area, weren't really able to kind of get to it and talk about it. But Kawhi Leonard, no longer on Team USA, dealt with lots of injuries this past season. Like, he just could not manage to stay healthy this past year. So, obviously, it's definitely going to be one of those things to where, you know, Grant Hill, Kawhi Leonard, they both kind of sat down and looked at the situation and said, do you really want to do this? Because this is taking up your offseason. This is taking up that time that you had to heal your body and kind of get yourself back into a peak playing condition. And I think they both kind of came to the conclusion that it's like, you know what? That's probably the best call. So going to go home and not have to worry about playing for Team USA this year. So they are calling up Derek White from the Celtics as Kawhi's replacement. And here's my problem with this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but here's my problem with this. You're calling up Derek White from the Celtics, and that's not a knock on Derek White at all. But Jaylen, how does Jaylen Brown not even get a single invite at all to be a part of Team USA? We're talking about a guy in Jaylen Brown who was the best player in all of the NBA postseason. Was the NBA Eastern Conference Finals MVP? Was the NBA Finals MVP? One of the reasons that the Celtics got to have that duck boat parade was because of Jaylen Brown. How in the heck does Jaylen Brown not even get an initial invite? Not just to replace Kawhi Leonard, but just at all. How do you not invite Jaylen Brown to be a part of this team? Again, this is not a slight at Derek White. This is not a knock at Derek White at all. Capable player. He's going to be able to fit in well with that roster that they have for Team USA. But how do you not look at Jaylen Brown, the guy that is literally was the best player in the NBA postseason and one of the top players in the full NBA regular season this past year? How does he not even get a look? That's where that player personnel department for Team USA dropped the ball on this. Jaylen Brown definitely should have gotten an invite. Hopefully that doesn't stir up some bad blood between Jaylen Brown and Derek White there on the Celtics. I don't think it will. I know there's. I've already seen a couple of headlines be like, possible bad blood with the Celtics. Now, I don't think it will, but, I mean, you never know. Professional athletes have massive egos, so who knows what could happen there. Talked about this a little bit at the top of the show, some other sad news. Talked about Monty Kiffin. Some other sad news happened yesterday. Jacoby Jones died at the age of 40. Apparently, he passed away early Sunday morning, late Saturday night in his sleep, and was found by family members on Sunday morning. Just definitely a huge loss. Obviously, Jacoby Jones was one of the top receivers in the NFL when he played. He had that 108-yard kickoff return against the 49ers in the Super Bowl in New Orleans. That still remains the longest touchdown play in Super Bowl history. And I mean, if you look at the dimensions of an NFL football field, it's going to be very hard for anybody to beat that. So, I think it definitely is some tough news for the sports world. And I mean, you just look at the amount of players, whether they are NFL players, NBA players, Major League Baseball players, anybody that was a professional athlete that retch out and really kind of, reacted to this news over the weekend. It definitely shows the touch that Jacoby Jones had in his profession and as a professional athlete. I mean, Jacoby Jones, a guy that did things the right way, played the game the right way, was even on Dancing with the Stars after he retired, you know, and did pretty well on that show too, I believe. But yeah, died in his sleep either late Saturday night, early Saturday morning, or early Sunday morning. But definitely a loss for sure for the sports world. And lots of players from J.J. Watt to Lamar Jackson all offering up their condolences and their support to his family right now as they continue to navigate through this tough time. And, of course, we here at ESPN Pensacola send our thoughts and prayers and condolences out to not only the family of Jacoby Jones, but the family of Monty Kiffin as well. Two great sports personalities lost over the weekend. And just it's unfortunate and it's sad. And again, just like I said, our thoughts and prayers go out to those families. Let's get back to some college football now. Alabama adding another 5-star player to their recruiting class, offensive lineman Ty Haywood. Lots of people, when the announcements made that Kalen DeBoer is going to be the new head coach for the University of Alabama, well, can he recruit in the SEC? Can he coach in the SEC? Is he going to be good? Can he be a viable replacement for Nick Saban? I would say, as far as the recruiting conversation goes, yeah, Alabama's the number two recruiting class considered by 24/7 Sports right now. They are pulling in 5-star after 5-star after 5-star. So really, the recruiting prowess that Nick Saban had at Alabama has not dropped off at all. Kalen DeBoer has done a great job of keeping that going and continuing to stockpile talent there for the Crimson Tide. So the only question to answer now is, how does he do with the X's and the O's? He's proven he can handle the Jimmys and the Joes, right? Recruiting is booming. The team loves him. He's bringing in DJs to team meetings. I think it's great. And I think the fact that the team loves him as much as they do is going to signal that they will play as hard as they can for him. So, again, like I said, we know he can handle the Jimmys and the Joes because he's out recruiting. The team loves him. There's been no negative word about him as the new head coach there at Alabama. So we'll just have to see how he does with the X's and the O's. And something tells me, seeing what he did with that Washington program and had them in the national championship last year against Michigan, they're going to be pretty good results for the Crimson Tide. I think if you're an Alabama fan and you're worried about Kalen DeBoer as your head coach and would there be a drop-off, there might be a little bit of a drop-off in year one, but the drop-off we're talking about is like 10-2, 9-3. So relax. That's still very. If you're Alabama and you're 10-2 and 9-3, and let's say your only loss is on the road to Texas, maybe you drop a game against Oklahoma or something like that, against teams that maybe, you know, it's not necessarily like. If you lose to Auburn this year in the Iron Bowl, then the playoff committee might go, maybe. But I think if you lose to like a game to Texas or Oklahoma or somebody like that, look, if you've only lost two or three games and you're Alabama and that's the losses you have, you're in the college football playoff, right? Year one with Kalen DeBoer, you're in the college football playoffs. So if you're a Bama fan, take a deep breath, say a couple of roll tides, give a salute to the Nick Saban statue you have in your closet, and just understand that you are going to be perfectly fine with Kalen DeBoer as your head coach. Not going to be a problem whatsoever. I think they knocked that hire out of the park. That was probably the best hire of the offseason this past year. Not to mention Nick Saban's, you know, still going to be in his ear. So Saban's going to be able to help him out. So even if there's things he's struggling with, he can go talk to Nick Saban. So you still kind of have a little bit of Saban involved with the football program there in Tuscaloosa. Tonight, we got the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby, all part of the All-Star festivities. Again, the All-Star game, of course, is going to be tomorrow night. And you can actually catch the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game right here on ESPN Pensacola 99.1. So if you want to tune in for that, that is definitely going to be lots of fun. I'm putting my money on Pete Alonso. You put him in the Home Run Derby, he's fun to watch, right? Plus, you know, got to cheer for a Florida guy, right? He's a Florida guy. So, you know, state of Florida, got to represent state of Florida. So, Pete Alonso, definitely who I'm gonna go with. But again, on the Home Run Derby, you never know. I mean, it could be a guy that's leading the major leagues in home runs, and he gets out there and he only hits two. I mean, that's just how it is when you have these people brought in to be your BP pitchers and pitch for you during these events like this. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But like I said, you can listen to the Home Run Derby tonight on ESPN Pensacola 99.1. That is going to do it for today's show. Like I said, coming up tomorrow, we'll recap day one of SEC Media Days, and we'll look ahead to day two of SEC Media Days, see who's going to be speaking at the podium tomorrow. And it's going to be lots of fun. I mean, SEC Media Days, you know what that means. Football season right around the corner. And, of course, we'll be covering all of it right here on the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. You have a great Monday. I'll talk to you tomorrow for a Taco Tuesday.